Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And do remember the resources that we talk about on the broadcast you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And speaking of truth, as Randy just did, when Nicolas Maduro succeeded Hugo Chavez as president, the carnage of Venezuela began in earnest. I have been following this with rapt interest on the news because Venezuela was once the richest economy in all of South America. And now with frightening rapidity has become chaotic, impoverished. And if leaders like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, now known by the acronym AOC because she's become so popular, a media creation. But if anyone like AOC or anyone like her becomes president of the United States, we face global catastrophe. In the short span of time between Chavez and Maduro, in that short time, in their taking over Venezuela, the richest economy in South America through socialist revolution has become an utter chaotic region. And as Mary O'Grady, writing in the Wall Street Journal, explains, even basic commodities of life are now lacking. I was reading about this in the paper this morning, that since Venezuela's socialist revolution, they've had rising infant mortality, malnutrition, starvation, running water, electricity, toilet paper are now luxuries. Venezuela suffers from hyperinflation, from disease, rampant crime, corruption. Millions of hungry, jobless Venezuelans have fled. Not since the fall of the Soviet Empire has a nation risen with such fury and determination to throw off the shackles of socialism. And not since then has Marxist misery been so clear for all the world to see. All we have to do is open our eyes and look. Venezuelans are experiencing what millions of Russians, Chinese, Cubans, and countless others have suffered. They're destitute. They're angry. The experiment has failed, and they want it to end. And now, in the irony of ironies, we are now courting that very thing. How ironic that some American politicians, Bernie Sanders, one of them, wants socialism for the U.S. just as the tide of history is going the other way. All one need do is look back at history, not ancient history, but history in the foreseeable past. What's happening now in Venezuela took place in Cambodia. It once was a first world country. In fact, It was a model scouted out by Lee Kuan Yew when he wanted to create Singapore. Singapore, you might remember, before 1965, was just a sandbar on the tip of Malaysia. Well, what happened? What happened is the roles have been reversed. Singapore is now the oasis of peace and prosperity that Cambodia once championed. And Cambodia, well, it has most definitely fallen on hard times. Cortex seemingly knows as little about history and economics as she does about climate change. Perhaps it would do her well to study the carnage invoked by Chairman Mao or Pol Pot. Pot seeking to impose communist socialism murdered millions. Many of them were leaders and intellectuals. It wasn't all that long ago that I walked the streets of Cambodia, littered with garbage. I witnessed firsthand the complete anarchy that prevails in a country that attempts to emulate the communist social experiment. To be ignorant of the devastating consequences of socialism, or for that matter, the basic premise of Christian capitalism, is a prescription for disaster. And by the way, this is one of the reasons that I have been promoting two books, The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines. No, smart machines cannot duplicate body-soul unities. They can't duplicate humanity. Jay Richards notes that in brilliant fashion. This book is a little out of the normal range of what I would normally offer, but the reason I offered it is to show human exceptionalism, humans created as icons of God. And then there's Money, Greed, and God, the book by Jay Richards on why capitalism is the solution and not the problem. I love Jay Richards because he is a master at exploding myths, like the Nirvana myth, which contrasts capitalism with an unrealizable ideal rather than with its live alternatives. Or the piety myth, which focuses on our good intentions rather than on the unintended consequences of our actions. The zero-sum game myth. This is believing that trade requires a winner and a loser. The materialist myth, believing that wealth isn't created, it's simply transferred, which is now all the rage in Washington. The greed myth, believing that the essence of capitalism is greed. The usury myth, believing that working with money is inherently immoral or that changing interest on money is always exploitive. The artistry myth, confusing aesthetic judgments with economic arguments. And the myths go on and on. The freeze frame myth is another one that sticks in my mind, believing that things always stay the same. For example, assuming that population trends will continue indefinitely, or treating a current natural resource as if it will always be needed. All of these are myths, and myths that we need to explode. Because if we don't, we will not realize the very things that Christians have an advantage, because their worldview corresponds to reality, the other does not. And that's particularly true with respect to what Ronald Reagan once said, that socialism only works in heaven where they don't need it, and in hell where they already have it. Communism failed because it treated human beings and human society like wet clay, like a blank page that the most beautiful poems can be written on. That is simply mythology. And for the quote of the day, Jay Richards demonstrates that and stirring fashion, he wrote, "Instead of starting with man as he really is, communists thought to create their ideal man in an ideal society, which for them meant one in which perfect equality reigned. To have any chance of success, they had to abolish private property. Why? Because private property is the most obvious sign of inequality. That doesn't mean no one controls that property. It means the state must confiscate and control whatever property is in private hands. So the state simply must coerce and kill, since most people don't willingly hand over their property to aggressors." The socialists tried to draw heaven down to earth. They brought hell up instead. We are coming to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to John in Richmond, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, John.
Hey, Hank. Your show is very addicting. I'm just so appreciative that you're standing up for the truth and that, you know, it's a refreshing change from all the lies Christendom holds. My question is a little bit... I just want to say keep up the good work.
Thank you.
My question is a little bit off topic, but regarding abortion, I just want to say one thing, is that why is it when they find a piece of slime on Mars and that's considered life, but the baby that's kicking around in a woman's body is considered not life? So I thought that was a little bit peculiar.
So
I thought that was a little peculiar. Anyway, my question concerns... Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, it talks about the great, all the saints that no one could number. And it does say here, I'm just reading it from the book, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes, made them white with the blood of the Lamb. Now, the thing is, if these people are coming out, would that stand to reason that they... we're in the great tribulation? Like, you can't come out of a house unless you were first in the house. So the popular belief that the church will not go through the great tribulation, it just sort of blows it out of the water, including Matthew 24 about coming back after the tribulation of those days, and 2 Thessalonians 2 all seem to agree that the church will go through the great tribulation. It's just that for the elect's sake, those days will be cut short. What's a CRI standpoint on that?
Well, I've written about this in a book called The Apocalypse Code, to find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. And in answering your question, I would start by saying that paradigms only allow us to see what paradigms allow us to see. In other words, so often we're ensconced or entrapped in our own paradigms and can't think beyond those paradigms. And part of the problem in answering this question, therefore, is that people look at Revelation as though it is written to us in the 21st century, as opposed to written to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult in the first century, which is made very, very plain in the prologue to the book of Revelation. So the point here is that the great tribulation that is spoken about is a tribulation that took place for those saints at that time. And again, in a broader perspective, if you read the whole of the New Testament, you find out that Romans is written to Roman believers, Corinthians to the Corinthians, and so forth. And so the principles were not written to us, they were written to them, but they apply to us. Every word of God is useful for teaching and correcting and instructing in righteousness. And so this applies to us, but the tribulation itself is what is happening to those seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. And they're told that they will... suffer great, great tribulation, but if they're faithful and fruitful, they'll suffer for a short time. Their vindication, however, will be an eternal vindication. So when you look at Revelation chapter 7, the ones who come out of the great tribulation, who've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, they serve before the throne of God. They serve Him day and night in His temple. In other words, Revelation transitions from this world, what's going on in tribulation in this world, to those who go on to the world to come. And actually, in true Christianity, authentic Christianity, we don't really make a distinction between the two. In other words, the saints present and the saints in the presence of God are a united church. They're a one church, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. So again, my answer to your question is simply, you got to bust out of the paradigm and start reading Revelation in the sense in which it's intended. It's intended to explain what's going on in the first century, has application in an eternal sense for every single generation of believers from that time to the present, because ultimately what you have a transition of in the two books of Revelation, because really it's divided into two parts, is you have a transition between what's going on in this world to what will happen in the eternal kingdom. And that, of course, is true in all the books of the Bible. What's happening in that generation has an application to what will happen in eternity. That's true of me. It's true of you as well. And so John ultimately sees the bridegroom who has taken the persecuted bride. He carries her over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem in which there's no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. Let me go back to the phone lines, talk to David in Tacoma, Washington. Hi, David.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate that. And also, it really is just a treasure to talk with you. And I always want to say thank you to you, your wife, and your family for sharing you with us. I really appreciate that.
You got it. It's my privilege.
Yeah, my question, Hank, is the Garden of Eden, does that still exist today, or what's the makeup of that?
No. In fact, I think this is sort of akin to the question that I had before with respect to the book of Revelation. Paradise is at the border. It's a liminal space, a place of change and transition. We are now in the fallen world to which we have transitioned. So as St. Ephrem the Syrian, and he's one of my favorite writers, as he pointed out, paradise occupies this space. It's part of the created cosmos that was intended to serve as a venue for divine and human communion. And as such, it is a special and set-apart place in relationship to the rest of creation. In fact, as I've communicated on the broadcast before, Ephrem actually imagined the Edenic Garden as a mountain like unto Mount Zion. It's a mountain dwarfing every other mountain. Its paradisical peak reaches up to the very habitation of God. And Ephrem, therefore, imagines the tree of knowledge being planted halfway up the mountain, the tree of life located with the Shekinah glory of God at the mountain peak. And so the idea is a story which is real because there was a real Adam and Eve, a story, a grand meta-narrative in which at the beginning you have Adam and Eve who partake of the knowledge of good and evil. They travel only halfway up the mountain and they attempt to become gods by their own notions on their own terms. Instead of continuing up the mountain and becoming gods by grace by partaking of the tree of life that stands on the apex of the mountain. Now, the reason I say it's a grand meta-narrative is its conclusion is found in the book of Revelation. And there in the very last chapter, the angel shows John the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healings of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The point here being is that what once was and now is no more will again be, but it will be in the eternal state where we will forever partake of the tree of life. And what does that mean? It means that we with unveiled faces, using the language of the Apostle Paul, will go from one glory to another glory, very much as Adam and Eve were intended to do before they stopped halfway up the mountain.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. All right, thank you, Hank. I really appreciate that.
You got it. And, you know, I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast that the book of Genesis, like Revelation, is a literary masterpiece. It contains many Hebrew symmetries and parallelisms and sevenfold patterns. You know, you begin with this literary mnemonic by which we are daily reminded of God's creative prowess, The first 6 days outline a hierarchy of creation culminating in humanity as the crowning jewels of creation. Then on the seventh day, the Creator in whom we ultimately find our Sabbath rests. And so the history of creation is remembered and recalled through an association with a continuous seven-day cycle of life. You can also use your 10 fingers to remember the 10 themes. And Moses, again, drawing up a literary masterpiece, did that intentionally. I've written about that in a little book called The Creation Answer Book, which is available for those who support the ministry. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And once again, my thanks for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You are touching the lives of people all over the globe. Only from the perspective of eternity will you fully know how God is using you for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Out of time for today's broadcast. Be back right here, Lord willing, with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.